Good evening, dear friends, and thank you for joining us for another Gnostic Lab for practical application. Today, as we get ourselves ready for this exercise, we're going to do some practices working with the tattvas of nature. So one thing that we will ask you is that if you happen to have a wool blanket, go ahead and get it. And if you do not have that, feel free to just go get a clear glass and fill it halfway with water. That should be enough. So either the wool blanket or the glass of water, either one of them would be perfect for the practice tonight. So I will give you a couple of minutes. Just go ahead and find it and hit play by the time that you get back once again. Very well. So thank you for getting those instruments. We're going to be using them for our practice today. So let's go ahead and have a little conversation about the tattvas of nature. Because what is this? What is this thing that we refer to as tattvas? Well, these are the different vibrations of ether. These are the different condensations of the ether itself. As you would remember from many of our lectures, we have spoken time and time again about the seven principles of manifestation that were given to humanity by the great Hermes Trismegistus. And Hermes, in one of his principles, he says that everything vibrates. Everything is always in motion. Nothing stands still. And when it comes to the ether being that mystical substance that was mentioned by so many alchemists, identified as that one thing out of which everything emerges. Well, it so happens that perhaps you have heard about the ether before, but without knowing that they were speaking about it. Because if you have heard the story of creation in the book of Genesis, in those very first verses of chapter 1, it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters and divided the waters of above from the waters of below. Those waters of above are the great ocean of fire. In the Kabbalistic tradition, they know that as the Shamayim. Dear friends, that Shamayim is the ether. This ether is such an interesting substance that it is known by all of the great human traditions and all of the world's ancient religions. Among the Buddhists, they venerated a goddess, and this divine goddess was of name Akashagarbha. Akashagarbha, translated grossly into our language that has so many limitations, it means the uterus of the Akash. Akashagarbha, for all purposes, is the very same Mula Prakriti, Maha Prakriti, out of which gods and constellations and galaxies and solar systems and universes are born. So that is the ether. The ether is the Shamayim. It is the waters from above. The ether is the Akash. And there are different vibrations of ether because as the ray of creation is descending, well, it goes through different condensations and different condensations result in different manifestations of that ethereal substance. And there are four primary condensations of the ether. The first one is Tejas, the second one is Vayu, the third one is Apas, and the fourth one is Prithvi. Tejas is the principle of fire, Vayu is the principle of air and motion, Apas is the principle of water, and Prithvi is the principle of earth. So for all purposes, the vibrations of ether that result in Tejas, they give forth the manifestation of fire. The vibrations of ether that manifest as Vayu, they bring forth the manifestations of air. Those vibrations of ether that condense as Apas, they give way for the formation of water. And those aspects of ether that condense in its most densest form, it leads to these different things that we know as the element of earth. Now, the nice thing is that we can work with these different vibrations, because any given day, there could be one or more of these manifestations happening. And it's good that we know, because when you know, you can work together and in harmony with these forces of nature. And if you can make use of these forces in ways that are constructive, that are edifying and essentially dignifying, then you can be and find yourself successful in many business dealings. You may find that you have a situation at home that you need to have one of those crucial conversations. Well, there are vibrations of ether that are more favorable for those crucial conversations than others. So what if you knew when to have that difficult conversation so that it can end successfully? What if you know? When is it that you could come together with someone else to close some kind of a financial dealing, to do some kind of negotiation? Then things would perhaps be a lot better. So let us tell you what those are. Because when there are days that as you look outside, you know that it is not cloudy but overcast. You can see that out in the sky, there are enough clouds to block the blue of the heavens, and yet it is not cloudy enough for it to be a rainy day. You have seen those days. Those days are known as days of Akash. And those days of Akash, well, they have a very, very peculiar force that is beneficial for you to get yourself into meditation and get yourself in prayer. And that is because Akash is the tattva of death. So if you take advantage of those days in which things are overcast, in which the heavens is overcast, which is an indication that that is that the primary manifestation of that ether in that day, your meditation is going to be very successful. If you need to elevate prayers, either because you are asking for the healing of someone, whether because you are asking for your own healing, for example, that you have sent or planning on sending a letter to the masters of universal medicine at the temple of Alden, then this is a beautiful day for you to do that. Now, notice that prayer and meditation are activities that happen within your own self. These are things that you are not doing with others, and that there is no conversation, and there is a very individual and particular dynamic. This is why this Akash creates such a favorable environment for us to do the internal work. Because outside of us, what those overcast days, those days where Akash is the prevalent vibration, what we will see is that those forces invite mistakes. Mistakes in many different ways. Mistakes because you can forget, for example, an ingredient where you're cooking, which is very simple. Or mistakes because you could forget a critical step in a maintenance process, if you work as an automotive technician or as a mechanical technician or some kind of technology technician. It could invite mistakes in things that you may want to say, but somehow you say them in a way that they come across the wrong way. You see? In those days of Akash, avoid love and business deals. If you could, avoid meetings. And if you go to the meeting, it would perhaps be a good idea that you do not engage in the crazy dynamics of the meeting, and that you remain on the sidelines being reflexive, observing how you are reacting and observing the dynamic without judging anybody. So now you see, when the day is overcast, those days invite the internal work. And now you know what to do with those days. Now, on those days where they are too hot, those days of very intense sunlight, days of tremendous heat, like what is happening in Arizona for like 2 weeks in a row, nonstop. Well, that is the vibration of ether that results in the element of fire. That means that the prevalent vibration that day is Tejas. And Tejas is very good for intense work, whether it is intense work individually or collectively. Those days of intense work, dear friends, you are able to get a lot done. Now, of course, we're not saying go outside and expose yourself to those heat advisory conditions and expose yourself to the sun and the heat, because we are in such a degenerated state that it is because of our own indiscretions that we are constantly getting hurt and that we have accidents and that we suffer so much. So we're not saying, if the day is a day of tejas, go out in the middle of the day and start mowing your lawn or doing some yard work or doing roofing work. Don't go do that, because it is likely that you will get hurt. But when it comes to intense work, if it is a day of tejas, you can stay in your house and you have the luxury of having some air condition in your house, or at least a good fan, that is a good day for you to do your necessary cleaning, to take care of your room. Make sure that your room has fresh sheets, that it's clean, that everything is organized, so that when you do your practice of dream yoga, that you're in the best condition possible. So intense work, those days of tejas, they are very favorable. And that work is not only physical. It is work that it can also be, for example, intellectual. So if you need to study, those are good days to do so as well, in a good environment where that manifestation of that ether is tejas. Now, there are some things that we would advise of you not doing, because the element of fire leads to very explosive and uncomfortable conditions. So if you are going to get married, we would advise that you avoid getting married in a day of tejas. Do not get married in one of those days of tejas. Now, you would perhaps say, but how am I going to know if I have to plan my wedding 5 months in advance? Well, allow us to say this. If you're going to get married, it would be a beautiful thing if you could do it, for example, in the springtime. Align with the forces of nature. Perhaps during a crescent moon, where you are also creating that pact of matrimony, in those instances where the moon is encouraging growth and development. That would be phenomenal. But please, if you live in Arizona, try not to schedule your wedding in the middle of the summer, because you know that the summers in Arizona, the summers in Nevada, the summers in the Midwest, as we're seeing, they tend to be very unforgiving. So avoid getting married, because if you get married in Tejas, what will happen is that you will have a very quarrelsome relationship. Other things to avoid in days of tejas, avoid arguments. So if you're driving, somebody's experiencing road rage, refrain from your reactions. Don't yell back. Don't brake check them. Don't do any one of those things. Avoid the arguments, because things will escalate. And you do not want them to escalate. We want to live in peace and harmony. And these are days that because of the heat itself, we become very prone to accidents. These are days where it's common to see explosions. So we have spoken about days that are overcast, that is the Tattva Akash. Days that are very hot, that is the Tattva Tejas. Now, there are days that you will notice that they are very windy. Those days in which the Tattva Vayu, the principle of air and motion, is present, those are great days for you to do some quick deals. Those are good days for you to do a lot of intellectual work, studying, phenomenal when it comes to those days of Vayu. And quick deals, think of those things that, for example, you would like to sell from your home, something that you would like to post on OfferUp, or things that you would like to post on Craigslist, things that you would like to sell like that. By all means, those are perfect days for you to do so. And you will be able to close those brief transactions really fast. Because remember, behind this is the principle of motion. But be watchful. Because on days of Vayu, it is very common for us to see that there are aviation accidents. These are days where those people who have been contemplating the act of suicide, that is such a tragic thing, these forces, they may propel them into committing it. These are days where gossip, slander, they tend to be very abundant. So if anything, on those days of Vayu, where that prevalent vibration of ether is the principle of movement and air, there is somebody who you know who has been giving signals of being, for example, suicidal, those are great days to spend with them. Those are good days for you to bring some intellectual work to those people. So bring a table game. Bring something in which the two of you can participate together so that you help them not make the mistake of committing that suicide. Now, we also have days that are very wet. Those days where it's either very rainy or there is a lot of fog. Those are days of apas. And apas is the vibration of ether that has to do with the element of water. It is in those days, it is very favorable for you to go and purchase goods and to do all kinds of businesses. The days of apas are very favorable days for all of those transactions. So if you like to buy a new car, maybe those days in which it is foggy, days that it's rainy, those are phenomenal days for you to be able to do something like that. And of course, any other type of negotiation. So we have spoken about moist days. We have spoken about windy days. We have spoken about overcast days and, of course, hot days. So what about the other days? Those days when you look outside, you can see that the colors are so vibrant. You can see that everything stands out. There is like a sensation of happiness in nature. You go outside and there is not too much noise and you can hear the birds chirping and people's moods are high. Those are days of Prithvi. And Prithvi is the principle of ether behind the manifestation of the element of earth. These are days that are the best days for all business deals and all types of transactions. If you want to get married, friends, get married in a day of Prithvi. Those days of Prithvi, they're very prevalent in the springtime. So the likelihood of you landing a day of Prithvi is way higher in the springtime than it is in the summertime. Of course, there could be days of Prithvi in the wintertime. And of course, there can be days of Prithvi in the fall and in the summer. Yes. But just observe this time clock of nature. And as you observe it, know that it is very dynamic. But now that you know what those conditions mean, now you know how is it that you can make the most favorable use of all of these forces in your benefit and, of course, and in benefit of others. So let's go ahead and let's get practical. We have one of two practices and you can choose to do whichever one you want. So again, earlier we asked you to go and get yourself a wool blanket. If you have it, awesome. Now you know which practice you're going to do. Likely the practice of Yogananda. And if what you have is just a glass of water, then we're going to use the glass of water and we will do the practice of clairvoyance that we have been given by Master Wiracocha. So, let's get ourselves ready. For the first practice, when we are working with the practice of Master Wiracocha, we're going to sit comfortably on a chair. It is very favorable that we sit on the chair facing north. If not, face east. If you face north, remember, you align yourself with the flow of those subtle energies that exist on earth. If you face east, you're facing the direction with anticipation of the rising of that cosmic force, that sun that has been venerated by so many cultures before us. As we sit, we will rest our elbows on the table. Friends, if you are sitting, by all means, we want you to mimic this so that you can do either one practice or the other later. The important thing is that you get how to do it. So we will set our elbows on the table. Our feet will not be crossed together. Our feet will not be one on top of the other. We will keep our feet flat on the floor, and we will stop shaking our legs, because many of us have this tendency that we have lost control over our motor center and our legs are just shaking and moving up and down, and we have to stop burning all that extra energy. So as we sit comfortably in our chair, feet flat on the floor, we rest the elbows on the table. With the thumbs, you will seal your ears. Don't seal your ears yet so you can hear me. With your index fingers, you will seal your eyes. With your middle fingers, you will seal your nose. And with your ring fingers and your pinky fingers, you will clasp your lips shut. So as you do this, you are effectively blocking your sense of hearing. You are blocking your sense of sight. Because you stop breathing, you start blocking the sense of smell, and you block your sense of touch by sealing your mouth and keeping your hands on your face. As you do this, remain calm, because you will only be doing this at first for just a few seconds, and relax your eyes. It is very common for many students to start moving your eyes within their eye sockets. So they close their eyes, but they start moving their eyes up and down and to the left and to the right, or they start tensing their eyes and then their eyes hurt. Friends, you don't have to do any of that. Just relax. And as you do that, even though your eyelids are closed, relax your eyes in such a way that you allow yourself to see. And what you will notice is that you will start seeing the colors of the vibrations of these tattvas with that sixth sense, with that faculty of clairvoyance. This is a beautiful practice for you to awaken your clairvoyance. If what you see is black, friends, you are seeing Akash. If you are seeing red, you're seeing Tejas. If you are seeing blue, you're seeing air. If you're seeing white, you're seeing earth, and so on and so forth. So just observe, because you will see a myriad of colors. And what you will see is the different vibrations of Akash. This is a really, really nice exercise. So you do it. And of course, when the time comes where you need to breathe, just let go of your ring finger and your pinkies. Exhale. Let go of your middle fingers. Inhale through your nose. Deep. Exhale. Breathe deep. Exhale. Third time, breathe in, seal your nose, seal your lips, rest once again on your hands, your elbows still on the table, and observe for those manifestations of those different colors. And you can repeat that 5 or 10 times. If you can do 14, so much better. If you can do 20, whoa, that'd be awesome. But notice that as you do this, not only this is very relaxing, you will slowly start awakening your faculty of clairvoyance. And what happens? If you're looking outside, you're not sure what is the manifestation of ether that is most prevalent today, you can sit down comfortably, you can relax your body, you can close your eyes, and you can allow yourself to perceive what is that principal vibration of ether. And you will see shades of blue, or you will see that it looks bright, or you will see that it looks very dark. That'll give you an indication on what that dhatva is vibrating. Isn't that cool? Now, the second practice is the practice that was given to us by Master Yogananda. Somehow shares this one with us. What you will do is that you will take your wool blanket and you will throw that over your chair. The reason we do that is because wool provides a very interesting shield. It's an isolation layer for us. So throw that blanket and allow your feet to be flat on the ground. If your feet can be on top of the blanket, even better. You sit on the chair that is covered with the wool blanket, and then you rest your elbows again on a table. But what you will do is that you will rest your elbows on a pillow. As you're resting your elbows on a pillow, what you are doing as well is that you are creating some isolation as well. You are shielding yourself from making direct contact with the table. And as you do that, you rest your elbows on the table, you face east. If it is not too much, you can rest your face on your hands, you keep your eyes closed, and then you see with your eyes closed, you relax your eyes and you allow yourself to see, and you focus on your listening. It is likely that you will hear a very subtle noise called the song of the cricket, which is the anahat sound. That noise of the cricket is a beautiful noise that allows you to reach a very deep state of relaxation that enables you to unfold comfortably in your astral body. So in this practice of Yogananda, now that you know that you need that woolen blanket, now that you know that you need a little pillow, once you are sitting on the pillow, your feet are flat on the floor, your elbows are on the pillow, you relax and you chant the mantra, Om. 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 How many times would you like to chant the mantra? Chant it for as long as you like. Please don't get into these practices thinking that you're gonna do 3 minutes of mantras, because then you're more focused on the time than on the mantra itself. Then it doesn't work. Go with the flow of the vibration of the mantra. Remember that a mantra is a word of power. And the mantra Om, it allows for the vibration of your heart chakra. Just as it enables the vibration of your prostatic or your uterine chakra, which is the one associated to your creative organs and your creative power. So when you chant the O, your heart vibrates. When you chant the M, your creative waters vibrate as well. And that helps to magnetize them. So as you're chanting the mantra Om, chant it 10 or 20 or 1,000 times. And as you get into that flow and in that higher harmony of nature, just allow yourself to remain sitting comfortably on your chair. Allow your elbows to rest comfortably on that pillow so that it does not bother you. And in that level of isolation, shielding yourself from making contact with these other hard surfaces, facing east, just close your eyes and make an effort to see and listen. Friends, as you can see, these exercises don't get any more easier and they don't get any more convenient. You're pretty much sitting there with your eyes closed. Nobody's bothering you. That's pretty much what every adult longs for every day, just to be able to sit down in peace and quiet. So take advantage of that. So those are the two practices. Now you know What is it that you need to do? So remember, keep in mind, always invoke of your innermost. Offer yourself as a fine and delicate instrument so that your innermost may manifest. Close your eyes. Relax your body. Take a deep breath in. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. And we say, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my eternal God, we ask of you, we beg of you with our soul and our heart, that you guide us and you lead us through this exercise. Give us, Father, the experience that is necessary so that we can start developing the faculty of faith, so that we stop seeing faith as that anticipation of something good happening at some point in the future, but rather know that faith is a reflection of our own lived experience. Give us the opportunity to experience. And once we experience, remind us to not boast on the experience, but also to not be sharing the experience, because we know that this is meant to be individual and particular for each and every one of us. As we have done this, we will practice the one left behind by Master Wiracocha. So we will sit comfortably in our chair at a comfortable distance from our table. We will allow our feet to be flat on the floor. We will rest our elbows on the table itself. And as we approach our hands, we will cover our ears with our thumbs. We will close our eyes with our index fingers. Please do not press down on your eyes. Just hold down your eyelids so that you don't put undue pressure on your eyes. With the middle fingers, we seal our nose. And with our ring finger and pinky, we seal our lips. So as we're getting ready to do that, let's take a deep breath in. 1, through our nose. 2. 1, 2. 1. Close your senses. Breathe in, exhale. Breathe in, exhale. And then breathe in. Seal your ears, your eyes, your nose, your lips. notice that at first, you will start putting too much pressure in your thumbs to seal your ears. Many other cases, some of the people would put a lot of pressure in their nose just to keep it closed. And once that happens, the practitioner tends to tense up. No. Remain calm and relaxed. We do not need to compress the face. All we need to do is to create a little bit of blockage into our senses so that we can drive all of our attention towards the inside. And when we do that, allow your eyes to see. Breathe in. Exhale. Breathe in. Exhale. Breathe in. Close your ears, your eyes, your nose, and your lips. Breathe in, exhale. Breathe in, exhale. Very good, and at this time, just wiggle your fingers, your toes, open your eyes. Friends, now you know, how is it that we do this practice? We picked up this first one because this one tends to bring in many different reactions from the students. And we hope that what we have done today, in these three rounds as we have done it, that it has been perhaps enough to give you some good insight on how to put it into practice. As you choose to do the practice of Yogananda, remember that we will chant the mantra Om at first. Do it for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. And if you can chant the mantra for an hour, even better. Remember, you cover your chair with a blanket, set a pillow on the table, rest your elbows on the pillow, face east, close your eyes, and if you can, just rest your face on the palms of your hands, and just, as you close your eyes, just make an effort to see and listen, maintaining that remembrance of self that comes from chanting the mantra Om. So this is it. Dear friends, this is what we had in store for you today. Put these things into practice. Remember, it's important that we learn to see those tattvas of nature. Because when we see them, we can identify them. And when we identify them, we know what is the primary vibration that day and which things we can do with those forces to make of our lives one of success, of love, and manifestations of sacrifice for those who are around us. Thank you so much, dear friends, for joining us this evening, and may all beings be happy.